too busy, and we are very grateful that we are having this meeting at last. We're still saying, as a committee, one of the things that we always emphasize mostly is that when we talk of education, we are saying we are talking access, but also, well, that is where we are preparing our learners for the future. So it's very important that there is no child that is left behind, but let every children have a right and an opportunity to be prepared for the future. And with the submissions and the reports that we have just received from the organizations that we are here, I can assure you it was very interesting to go through your reports. You know, sometimes you read a report as you are reading, as if you are reading a novel. It was so interesting. Really, I think everyone, and speaking for myself, I've gone through Left in the Dark, Section 27. That was a nice report that we have here. All the reports that we have got, even the other one from the competition in actually, those were the nice reports that you could get. But what we are saying today, we are here to share those findings. We are here to evaluate and see where are we as a country. We are here to say if ever there are things good that the department has done, let us talk about them and talk of the challenges. As to say, we understand the SOSP inclusive or white paper six. This is what we have put for yourself. This is how far you have gone. But notwithstanding the challenges that you still need to go over, that's the kind of the discussion that we hope today. We are all here to build the future of every child in South Africa. We are saying we are going to discuss even the issues of discrimination ever, because of reading through even the report, there are elements of discrimination that are being highlighted. What are we going to do, all of us moving together, to make sure that at the end we are comfortable to say, when we talk of access to education, each and every child has got that access, is enjoying the education with the atmosphere and the environment that is enabling them to continue with their lives, preparing them for the future to come. So that should be the spirit of our discussions, but at the end we want to build and move forward together so that everyone is comfortable and we know that every child is benefiting in the education system that we have in the country. So thank you very much for this meeting. I know the communications that we've been having with this organization as a committee, pleading and asking for this opportunity, and at last we are here together to build then the education of our learners and our children moving forward. I know we have started a little bit late, but it should be proper that we do very, very brief introduction so that you know exactly, maybe just a little, because as we have said, we know that we have got these three organizations, Human Rights Watch, which we have a person from Human Rights Watch. Maybe just introduce yourself.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Jewa Malvinga. I'm a senior researcher at Human Rights Watch. Thank you. Yes, Mazinga, Ewa Mazinga.
There's several of us here. My name is Tim Hudson. I'm a researcher at Section 27. My colleague to the left will introduce himself.
I'm
Shulong
Okumala. I'm Shulong Okumala, a researcher at Section 27 as well.
I'm Kate Hudson, an attorney at Section 27.
And I am Jackie Austin, a member of the board of Section
27. Inclusive Education, South Africa.
Good morning, I'm Robin Beer. I'm director at Inclusive Education, South Africa.
Good morning, I'm Vanessa Chapter, Advocacy Officer at Inclusive Education, South Africa.
Thank you very much. As I'm looking, I call the representatives from these organizations, the three organizations that we have. Can I then, can you just let my thank you. We also have DBE with us, led by the PG, Mr. Mwedi. Can you also do the introduction for the president of the legislature today?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. Chair, let me also take this opportunity to tender the apology of the Minister within the Eastern Cape carrying out commitments that he promised the nation to attend to when we release the results of grade 12. The Deputy Minister is attending a cabinet committee meeting. And with us this morning from education, next to me is Mr. Mahada, that you know, the parliamentary liaison officer in the office of the Director General, and Mr. Mklanga, the Chief Director for Communications in the Department. We also have Mr. Randall van den Heuvel, who's preparing for his retirement, and next to him is Mrs. McQueen Letsoha Matai, who's taking over from Mr. van den Heuvel. And I'm sure you'll appreciate that succession planning we are trying to do. And then Mr. Alan Suban, the Director for LTSM, and Dr. Sinelani, the Director of Inclusive Education. That covers the DDE team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for those introductions. But we've got all the trustees. We know the minister can be occupied somewhere with better teams, but with the team that you're leading, that you've been here, we know that the discussions that we'll be having are going to be taking us forward. I've observed there are people that have not introduced themselves this night. Can you please do so?
I'm Susan Bum from Lion South Africa. I'm the chairperson of the Education Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nchavene Nechituni. I am the president of the South African Trade Authority.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Antonio Speck. I'm the National Executive Director of the South African National Council for the Blind.
Okay, I'm Ian Hutton. I'm Managing Trustee of the Mobility for the Blind Trust and convener of the OEM Action Group.
Good morning. My name is Becky Mayer and I'm with the Humble Foundation.
Good morning, I'm Sarah Driver-Jowers and I'm also with the Humber Foundation.
Morning, I'm Sandy Bunters from the Western Cape Forum for Intellectual Disability and part of the Right to Education campaign.
Thank you very much. I think it shows how much people are interested in the topic that we're going to be discussing today. Honourable members, can you quickly do the introduction? So that they know who they are. Let me start. I'm normally we are looking at the chairperson of the Cultural Community Based Education. Can I request you, thank you. Thank you so much.
Morning, everyone. I'm Shamalan Kosa, community member.
Morning, I'm Sumati Kosa, Basic Education Cultural Committee.
Morning, I'm Eric Mooney, member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, colleagues. I'm Chris Patson, member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. My name is Nicole Zubetek, member of portfolio committee.
Morning, my name is Desiree Carnaval, a member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sonia Boswell, member of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Gavin Davis, and I'm a member of this portfolio committee.
Morning, everybody. My name is Campbell Smart, a member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, all. I'm Dennis Bandy, content advisor for the portfolio committee.
Human Rights Watch. I think 15 minutes will be fine for your presentation because it's a slide too. I'm not going to go through the whole report, but just to highlight the points that you want them to be highlighted. Then immediately after that, we go to session 27, then Inclusive Education South Africa. Then even the EGBE is going to make the presentation too. After that, we'll take discussions and then head the way forward to move from there. So can I then hand over to you and Mr. Mavinga from Human Rights Watch to do your presentation. 15 minutes from now, we'll try and time you. The time 10 o'clock, quarter past 10. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Committee Chairperson. I wish to thank this Portfolio Commission on Basic Education for this opportunity to present the findings of our report as we release the August 2015 efforts completed in South Africa's failure to guarantee inclusive education for children with disabilities. At the time that we launched this report, we reported that nearly 600,000 children with disabilities were estimated to be out of school across the country. This really pointed to the urgency in terms of focusing on the conditions faced by children with disabilities in South Africa's education system. So this is for Human Rights Watch, we do commend this committee for hosting this meeting and for giving priority to these issues. Human Rights Watch is an independent international human rights organization that conducts research into human rights issues in some 90 countries globally. We have conducted investigations on the right to education in over 30 countries with a strong body of evidence on the right to inclusive education, the rights of children with disabilities in countries like China, India, Nepal, Russia, and most recently in South Africa. In 2014, we had consultations with local-based NGOs and organizations representing persons with disabilities, and we then carried out research into the rights of children with disabilities in terms of access to education in South Africa in five provinces, that is in Gauteng, in KwaZulu-Natal, in Limpopo, and in the Northern Cape and Western Cape provinces. We wish to acknowledge that South Africa has a strong constitutional protection of the right to education, and has got a number of strong policies that it has adopted since 1994, which show really the importance of the progress made in relation to education goals. We also recognize and acknowledge that the government has adopted various policies to address the needs of children with disabilities in the education system, including the through education work paper 6 on special needs education, as well as very recently the screening, identification, assessment and support policy. We also wish to acknowledge the department's inclusive education unit, which has a frank assessment of the state of affairs in terms of the implementation of these policies. I wish to focus briefly on our findings in terms of our report that we put out in 2015, South Africa's international human rights obligations, as well as three key recommendations. As you may be aware, Honorable Committee members, that South Africa in 2007 ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And on the basis of that convention, South Africa agreed to be bound in terms of its core obligation to focus on guaranteeing inclusive quality education and to ensure that the education system is inclusive to all children and that schools reflect the diversity in their communities. Also in 2015, South Africa became a part of the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, which meant that it had adopted a core obligation to provide responded to being a challenge that calls for urgent attention. We also met with adolescents and young adults who had never been to school or had only studied a few years because they enrolled when they were deemed to be too old. As indicated in our report, the Department of Basic Education has not yet released a government gazette that stipulates ages of enrollment for children's disabilities, which is long overdue. Another key aspect that we found has been discriminatory fees and expenses. We found that a key source of discrimination against students with disabilities is the high cost of education. We met with children who were not going to school because their parents could not afford to pay school fees. They could not afford to pay the very high transport cost or the cost for special food diapers, among other related needs to address their disability. In some cases, children were moved from a non-fee ordinary school to a fee-paying special school. Some parents could not afford to send their children to school unless they received a fee exemption. On fees, although the majority of children with disabilities in South Africa are enrolled in special schools, we found that no special schools are included in the annual no fees school fees. But there is no policy or reason why special schools should be left off this list. The majority of children we interviewed went to schools in rural areas or townships where very few, if any, of the children were able to pay for their school expenses. Another key area that has resulted in discriminatory practices that we found led to transportation. Transportation remains one of the most important assistive devices to ensure children with disabilities can get to school on an equal basis. Yet transportation fees are the second biggest financial factor affecting children's access to school. The majority of families we interviewed had to pay transport fees as high as 400 rand to send their children to schools that were very far away from their home. Children with physical disabilities typically pay twice to bring their wheelchair. Some schools allow students who live closer to the schools to use the school transportation at a cost, but the majority of the learners had no access to school or government subsidized transportation. On this particular aspect, our recommendation to the Portfolio Committee on Education is that they should call upon the government to comply with its fundamental obligations on the right to education, particularly its obligation to make primary education free and compulsory for all students. The Portfolio Committee on Education should urge the government to adopt strong norms and standards for funding of inclusive education to ensure public special schools can qualify as no-fee schools and to not charge fees. Finally, a key finding for us has been that there is lack of quality education. Poor quality of education affects hundreds of thousands of learners in schools across the country, including children with disabilities. Children are exposed to violent, unqualified teachers in conditions that are not conducive to quality learning. Many children with disabilities interviewed by Human Rights Watch could not read or write despite being in school for many years. On this particular point, we call upon the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education to urge the Department of Basic Education to adopt a waiting system in ordinary and full-service schools to ensure that teachers are able to dedicate sufficient attention to every learner requiring additional support to overcome learning barriers. We request for further information and evidence from the Department of Basic Education on how children with disabilities are supported to follow the curriculum taught in mainstream classrooms, as well as data on the numbers of children with disabilities following and being assisted on the same curriculum taught in ordinary schools.
education and other essential services. Also to encourage the Department of Justice Education to adopt clear mechanisms to ensure department officials remain in control of enrollment decisions and to challenge unnecessary referrals to special schools and monitor certain dropouts of learners with disabilities. In conclusion, Human Rights Watch recognizes the important work carried out by many educational officials, school staff, and local and national organizations in South Africa to guarantee inclusive education and strive for equal recognition and treatment of children with disabilities in the education system. However, reaching 600,000 children with disabilities who remain out of school, as well as those who are in school but are not accessing quality education, requires a shift from small individual measures of best practice to a more system-wide approach guided by stronger laws to protect the right to education for all children with disabilities. We hope sincerely that the discussion today will lead to an agreement and strengthen the political will to work on a strong inclusive education policy and to reach consensus on the need for greater legal protection for children with disabilities. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Human Rights Watch, let me comment, we're exactly 40 minutes. I didn't even have to bother to stop you. Thank you very much for that very much informative presentation that you have just made. And let me assure you, we are coming back, we are going to discuss what you have just raised, the issues that you have raised. But let me not be tempted to even go to the issues that you have raised. We'll get time for that. Can I then go to section 27 and allow section 27 to come up with your presentation, your 15 minutes, starting now? Or should I go to inclusive education? But we have said it should be section 27 then inclusive. So yeah. Section 27, your 15 minutes is starting. I might still have time.
Thank you very much. Yeah. The other 10. Mm-hmm. I want to start obviously with our constitution and say that quite apart from international documents, our constitution provides that everyone is entitled to a basic education, provides also for equality of everybody, and provides for non-discrimination on the grounds of disability. It also provides the affirmative action provision, we know, in section 9.2, which makes it clear that legislative and other measures, and Parliament takes the legislative measures, may be taken to ensure the advancement of those who have been discriminated against in the past. And there are some categories of people with disability who have been double discriminated against on the basis of their race and on the basis of disability. And we must not imagine that there was some kind of equality in the disability sector. The spectre of apartheid meant that that black people with disability suffered much more than white people with disability. The facilities available for them were much worse. The first school for white blind children, for example, was started in the 1880s. First school for colored blind children in the 1930s. The first school for Indian blind children only in 1955, and I started schooling there in 1956, and the first school for African blind children was started much later. If the school for Indian blind children had been started when African blind schools were started, I would never have been to school. So there was that level of discrimination, but the facilities at the school were very, very different because of the different government departments that funded them. And that is why I think that we must take those factors into account quite clearly in understanding the status of education in our country. The second point I wanted to make was that we cannot in a wheelchair and has no other problems. All you need is a raised a way of access for the kid on a wheelchair to get into a school. And if you have a blind kid, you need braille, you need mobility and orientation for the blind kid to move around properly. You need specialist attention and specialist teaching. And if you have a kid who has very difficulties, there's no point in teaching that child braille, because the deaf person can see. So I wanted to emphasize that you cannot paint all education for disability with the same brush. One of the problems is that we should make sure that there is sufficient expertise within the department to deal with each of these disabilities in a knowledgeable and caring way. I know very little about deaf education, for example. In fact, I find it very difficult to communicate with deaf and partially sighted people. So the expert that you would need in a government department, either at the provincial level or at the national level, is expertise and sufficient personnel to manage these things and to make them work. The second aspect in which one must talk about the department is really at the level of expertise, on the level of availability of resources and calculation and planning, because that is what, in my view, is missing. There is no plan to say, this is what we are going to do in relation to this particular disability from now over the next 10 or 15 years, so that then that plan devised by experts can be properly implemented. I think I stop there and hand over. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee for Basic Education, Mama Olomalungi Olojina, Gina, and honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, I greet you all in the name of Quality Education for Children with Disabilities. I did mention that I am Uslomo, and I've had the privilege of being a core researcher which led to Left in the Dark report failure to provide access to quality education for children with visual impairment. And fortunately, I'm a person living with a visual impairment myself and have attended one of these schools, one of the 22 schools that we visited to conduct the research. So what I'm going to do, considering that we have a limited time, I'm going to take us through some of the findings that came out of the report, and then take you through some of our recommendations. The first would be the lack of Braille textbooks. We found out that across the 22 schools that we have visited is that there are no Braille textbooks that have been produced by the Department of Education. And we learned that is as a result of a failed tender in 2012 between the Department of Education and a producer of Braille material in the country. And now that we will know that the South African Supreme Court of Appeal has ruled in a case which was taken by Section 27 and Basic for All, Basic Education for All, which is based in in Limpopo, that textbooks are a component of the right to basic education, and that every child must have access to a braille or to a textbook for each subject. So This does not exclude children with disability with visual impairment. So it is important that children with visual impairment also have access to braille and large print textbooks like all other children. Then the other major problem that we have discovered is the lack of available Perkins braille machines. The Perkins braille machines are a form of a writing tool for a blind learner, similar to an old type kind of typewriter, where you'll put in a paper and you'll be able to braille on the paper using the machine. Now, the problem in all across these schools is that these braille machines are either not available or they break regularly, and there are no people to actually fix these braille machines or even maintain them. And this creates a problem for the learners. And the learners are complaining that they cannot independently do their homework, they cannot take notes in class, and that is effectively learning. If you combine the two, the lack of braille machines and the lack of textbooks, you will then understand that blind learners in the schools, they are learning without books and papers. And the other one big problem is the problem of teacher training in the schools. We found out that learners are complaining that their teachers cannot read and write braille, and that in a way creates a situation where a learner will actually have to ask another learner to read for a teacher in order for the teacher to write, to mark his or her homework. That is a huge problem, and the learners are actually complaining that they don't get their deserved results. And the last point that I will bring in is the issue of the availability of O&M instructors or O&M trainers. O&M is orientation and mobility training that each and every child with a visual impairment, whether partially sighted or totally blind, must have in order to be able to get around his or her environment. You use a cane, and you might have noticed some of us here do have our cane, and you need a specialized training to be able to walk independently and confidently using a cane. And most of these schools do not have O&M trainers in the schools. And that is a huge problem, because learners, like myself, found their way around the school by bumping ourselves on the walls and by falling. And some learners are timid, and they are not as will find confidence to actually walk around and bump themselves. And what ends up happening is that such learners end or complete their schooling without having known their environment around the school. They'll sit in class during break time, during lunch period, because they cannot get themselves around the schools. And these are have a very huge impacts on one's dignity, not to be able to be to have a sense of worth, even in your own school. And now, our recommendations that we have done on these issues. I must mention that we have a number of recommendations on other issues, because these are not the only issues that came out of the report. We recommended that a task team needed to be established on the production and funding of the braille materials and or braille textbooks, and that commission must a task team must have strict deadlines to ensure the production of braille material. And the other one with regards to Perkins Braille machines is that we believe that each and every child must have access to a Braille machine. And for example, just recently received a report from a school in the Eastern Cape where there are 165 learners and there are only 3 Perkins machines in the school. So we believe that each and every school must have someone in the school to be able to assist with the maintenance of these Braille machines. And and the other one around the teacher training, we believe that there should be continuous teacher training, and we are aware that there are some trainings that have been done, but we believe that must be made compulsory on all the new coming teachers. And we also believe that there should also be during a vacation or during holidays that teachers in the schools can also go through some training. And lastly, on the issue of the O&M training, we believe that each and every school must have an O&M instructor in the school. And the department must work closely with organizations such as Section 27, and more importantly, with the O&M Action Group to facilitate the registration of the profession with the health HPCA. Sorry, my bad. I'm so bad at acronyms. And those are largely our recommendations. And if I may, Mam Nomalungelo, just comment briefly on the inclusive education. One, we believe that the Department of Education must somehow determine the role of the inclusive education directorate. We believe that they should largely be playing a coordination and monitoring or an oversight role, and it shouldn't be on the task of the inclusive directorate to implement the inclusive education approach. And we also do believe that the portfolio committee itself should work together with the inclusive directorate to actually facilitate the implementation of the SIAS policy, which is the screening and identification assessment support policy. We believe that is a very important policy that has been brought by the Department of Education, but we believe that it requires immediate implementation. In conclusion, as a visually impaired person, believe that there is an amber of hope in many children with disabilities in South Africa. And without the intervention of the portfolio committee and us all as a society, we are left to leave these children die with their hope without having had any access to education. I know of my friends that we have been in school who were, I believe, somehow more intelligent than I am. And I don't quite think that people like myself and Justice Zeke Jacob and many others who have succeeded should be the yardstick to actually judge how well the Department of Education has done. But what should be the yardstick to determine the success of the Department of Education should be those children who have been dropped out of schools, who have been dropped out of universities. The number of or scores of people with disabilities who are currently unemployed in South Africa, that should be the yardstick to determine the success of providing special education in South Africa. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Section 27, for that presentation. Again, as I say, it's a pity we've got time against that, but it's so much interesting to hear and listen. And it's good because, as I said, we're all here with the DBEC, with the Portfolio Committee, we're getting even more insight of what is it that we need to look at as we perform our side role over the DBE. Thank you very much for the presentation. We are also shelving that one. We'll come back to the discussions. Let us now go to Inclusive Education South Africa. Your 15 minutes. Again, we are beginning now at 25 to 11. By 5 minutes, we will be done.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for the opportunity to address you this morning. And I thank my colleagues from Section 27 of Human Rights Watch for their presentations. And as we have agreed amongst us, we will take this opportunity to contextualise these discussions within inclusive education in South Africa. So the first thing I'd like to start with is this context about diversity in our learner population. I think for all of you in your own constituencies, you will know and recognize that your learner populations are incredibly diverse. Children experience a wide range of barriers to learning in our country, which stem from the effects of poverty, of the socioeconomic conditions that they live in, disability, learning difficulties, a system which doesn't support their learning in school. And we recognize that the context of disability within that must be seen in the context of diversity. As Justice Kirk mentioned, disability itself is diverse. And so we would like to urge that when we look at inclusive education, we look at the broad diversity of learner population. And we look at numbers probably of around 50 to 60% of our learners who are experiencing one or more barriers to learning. And in some of the schools that we work with, this is as high as 70 to 80% of the learner population. So it starts to get us to understand that this is an issue that is far greater than just disability. And we need to start looking at what my colleague Dewa mentioned about the obligations of the state to reflect diversity in our ordinary schools. If we also have a look at our current education focus, in this country, we are almost solely, exclusively focused on matric results, on our learners achieving a grade 12. And in the process, we are failing to respond to diverse learner needs who are experiencing poorer learner outcomes. We are ignoring the rights and needs of roughly 70% of our learner population who don't receive a grade 12 and who, in fact, drop out of the system or, as we prefer to say, are pushed out of the system once they reach the age of 15. Or have failed in grade 9. And those are learners who are exiting our system with no school leaving qualification and virtually no opportunity of employment. So when we start to look at education within that context, we start to see that this is an issue that requires a system-wide or systemic response to learner needs. It is the entire education system's responsibility to ensure that each child has access to and can meaningfully participate in education. Of the 600,000 children with disabilities in South Africa who are currently out of school, they are children left behind. So when we speak of no child left behind, we are leaving behind nearly 600,000 children with disabilities. That requires a system-wide response. When we're talking about a 70% push-out rate from our schools, we're talking about over 6 million children who are being left behind in education. This is a commitment that we need to make as an entire system, not just as one inclusive education directorate, but as an entire education system. We need to emphasize the commitment to the continuum of support provision that we have in our inclusive education system, which recognizes the role that special schools can play as resource centers, where they can share specialized knowledge and expertise to schools around them. It recognizes the role of ordinary local neighborhood schools to accommodate the diversity in their catchment areas and to provide support so that children are not just included physically in schools but are meaningfully participating in education. I'm not sure if any of the honorable members here have a constituency in the Northern Cape, but you'll know when we speak of schools in the Northern Cape, some of them have populations of 30 to 40% of learners speak alcohol spectrum disorder. In the one school we work in that's over 1,000 learners, more than 300 have fecal alcohol spectrum disorder. So we applaud those schools for including those children in an ordinary school, but those children are not meaningfully participating in learning. They're sitting in seats, they're not being taught. What we recognize that this requires is prioritization by the Department of Education to inclusive education, accountability from each pillar within the Department of Education, not just the IE directorate, curriculum, LTSM, institutional management and governance, assessment. Reporting on targets, we need to interrogate the data that we receive from the department as well as the targets that they set. This is particularly so when it comes to the training of education that is reported by the department. We would like to say that most of this training at best is orientation. We're not talking about training that actually develops skills in educators to be able to teach to the diversity of their learner population. We know that the Department of Higher Education and Training has as a priority at the moment to look at improved inclusive education in initial teacher education, but we have a massive cohort of in-service teachers who require skills development in order to teach inclusively in ordinary schools. And this takes place over far more than 2 to 3 to 5 days of training or orientation. This also requires prioritization in terms of funding, and we would urge the department to see the vetting of the national norms and standards for the resourcing for inclusive education as a priority. CS has been vetted, and we see that as a very positive momentum towards inclusive education being implemented in ordinary schools. However, without funding, it's not worth the paper that it's written on. It requires resourcing to make this happen. Those may well end up being treasury decisions, as they have post-provisioning implications, waiting implications for learners with disabilities in ordinary schools, and this needs urgent prioritization. Monitoring and evaluation of the measures to implement inclusive education, as we'll hear in the department's presentation, they have plans to improve this. A lot of them, again, are quantitative measures. We need to look at quality and we need to look at monitoring and evaluation of these. The coordination and implementation of policies, particularly of CS, also needs to be made a priority. And again, we urge that if CS is to be seen as the important implementation tool that it is, that more prioritization is given to the effective training of every single teacher in this country as to how to implement CS effectively. We would also like to draw the committee's attention to the Right to Education for Children with Disabilities position statement. We apologize for the late submission of this. There are copies available for you today, which does outline the campaign's response to the department's progress report on the implementation of White Paper 6. I won't go into the details of the findings there. We do also recognize the need to celebrate successes. People might end up feeling at some point that have we made any progress in terms of implementing inclusive education, and we have. Throughout the country, there are incredible examples of good inclusive practice in ordinary schools, some of which have been designated full-service schools, some of which remain simply ordinary public schools, with a great willingness to include each child that comes to their door. And so we would like to recommend that we draw on that good inclusive practice.
we share it, and we try to look at the replication of those good practices in other schools throughout the country. And as I mentioned, the vetting of CIAS is a very important success. However, we cannot lose sight of the fact that this is a human rights issue that we are dealing with. The right to education is an absolute right. Children should not have to wait on waiting lists or out of school before their right to education is realized. And we believe that action needs to be taken now. I'd like to leave you with one very simple quote that I think sums up everything that we're saying about inclusive education. Inclusive education is not something which has to happen in addition to education transformation in South Africa. It is the means through which education transformation will be achieved. And although that quote was written some years ago, it is as relevant today as it was then. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Inclusive Education South Africa.